Hello and welcome once again to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, universal healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to discover your human and divine potential. Today I am delighted to welcome William Von Holst, who will discuss Emery Vallion's newest book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, which can help readers tap into a universal life force, the limitless energy of spirit, and how we may use that energy to manage health, emotions, and the realities of today's world. Hello, William, and so nice to have you join me once again to share Emery Vallion's spiritual impressions and visions in his newest book. Last time we talked, we discussed his insightful and illuminating book, The Journey Within. So, hello.
Hello, and thank you.
William, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect over the years, my guests and I seek answers to age-old questions about human nature, spiritual life, energy, and how recognizing ourselves as dual beings, both energetic and physical, helps us to self-investigate our inner landscape, the world and universe, helping us in the quest of knowing who we are and where we come from. And in a metaphysical sense, our talks help us seek to explore the seen and unseen world. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will discover the Buddha was a spiritual warrior, as was the Christ, Moses, Muhammad, Krishna, and all the great spiritual reformers, because they all belong to the spiritual warrior school. Spiritual teacher Emery Vallion focuses on a multidimensional development of personality, soul, and spirit divinity through self-assessment and understanding the warrior path and techniques, the study of sacred language, and planetary transformation. We will move in this discussion from a separate consciousness to a consciousness of unity, while learning how the warrior transmits the energy of the universe into our physical world. William, I don't know if you remember this question last time you were on the show, but I'll ask it again because it's different every time we approach it. I always love to begin each show with a search into the thoughts and heart of my guests by asking them to think back to a meaningful experience or encounter that altered their thought of themselves or life in general. And in your case, maybe how you came to know the author of The Way of the Spiritual Warrior and represents him now on interviews.
Well, to answer your question, I had been searching for many, many years and had various experiences, mystical experiences, and most of which I really did not understand. One experience that I had was that I actually fell off a mountain when I was 19 and almost died. I was flying down a very steep ice field, completely out of control, and by the grace of whoever made a 90-degree turn before I crashed, did crash, but didn't go over the cliff. And I remember waking up and just being full of thanks and extreme gratitude, because I knew that I hadn't saved myself, but something else had saved myself.
Absolutely.
It was definitely divine intervention. I was 19, and I didn't understand. The experience is overwhelming, and you know, you have a brush with death, and that can, for many people, that could be all sorts of things.
Yes.
And your whole perception is completely changed, and there was a part of me that wanted to understand it, wanted to know really what had happened. I experienced it, but I didn't really understand what had happened. So I had many teachers, and it wasn't until my mid-30s that I met Emery, and I very quickly realized I was attending a retreat up in Canada, within the first few days, just sitting in front of him, and I could feel energies changing within me. I could feel all kinds of things I could feel myself getting rearranged, is probably the best way I could describe it, my aura. I knew very clearly that I was sitting in the presence of someone who I had not met someone like that before, who kind of embodied an energy that was very transforming, very powerful, and I recognized it immediately as that, you know, this is someone I could truly learn from. And that was actually 30 years ago, a few weeks.
Wow, how beautifully you just expressed it. And it reminds me of my first Reiki attunement when I was able to receive energy from above through a Reiki master teacher. And I didn't quite understand what was happening, but I knew I was being blessed and received into a new way to transform my life and the life of others and to channel energy. And that's how it felt. What you just said to me is how people feel when they have a Reiki session or a healing session with someone who truly is selfless, kind, and loving, and hopes to be of service to humanity. So it was just beautifully expressed. Let's go on to the way of the spiritual warrior is ancient, and it may be misunderstood in today's world. So tell us something about the path of the spiritual warrior on his way to enlightenment, and clarify what may be understood by people nowadays.
Well, a spiritual warrior is a very noble path, and to be very generous, anyone really on the spiritual path is a warrior. And what I mean by that is that someone on the spiritual path is someone who is bringing down light or bringing down love, and it's radiating from their being. And it takes a warrior, or it takes someone really strong and stable to be able to do that, because there are so many forces. The material plane is very strong. Material energies pull you in so many different directions. So it takes really a warrior within to be able to hold on to that light, keep that light present within, and always be available to help others.
When you're called, I've learned not to say no. Whenever the opportunity arrives, I say yes, because it's always a chance to be part of the goodness of this inner loving energy that so many of us wish to share with others. So the way of the spiritual warrior is actually an individual attainment. It's not something you can get from someone else. It's what comes from within that you were born with, but gets reactivated at some point of your life, like when you had almost that near-death experience, and when you begin to realize that there's more to you, more to this life, and more to the universe. And the word more means we have to go forward and be present, so that we can discover it. I think that's nice. But let's go on to, the Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. And Christ said, I am the light of the world. An invisible light shines out of you that stimulates other people's minds and understanding, improving their way of living. So tell us something about this.
Well, this is what I'm trying to teach people, and what it means is that when you truly are that noble spiritual warrior, you're embodying a very high frequency of energy. The Christ did that, the Buddha did that, and there were females that did this as well. Kuan Yin in ancient
yes.
China did this. The Virgin Mary was actually a greater warrior than Christ himself. She embodied an incredible energy field. Her energy field, her warriorship was so strong that she allowed Christ to go through the whole drama that he did, that he was intended to do, but it was her energy field that allowed him to do that. So what this means is that when anyone goes within, and when you begin to tap these incredible energies within, and we all have it, every
yes.
single person on this planet, no matter whatever their particular life stream is at the moment, even if it's horribly violent or angry or depressed or whatever the circumstances, what is within that person is this incredible energy field, and incredible layers of understanding or layers of wisdom or layers of light or layers of love. So for Emery, what it is, a spiritual warrior is when you really begin to turn inward and you begin to discover not just a single dimension, you discover dimensions within dimensions, or in a metaphysical sense, the words are worlds within worlds.
Yes.
So what that means is that we live in the physical plane, but within that physical plane, there's an emotional plane, referred to as the astral plane. And then simultaneously, there's also this mental plane. And there are, and that's the realm of the personality, the lower three realms, the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental plane. But there's also worlds within worlds, because within that there's also your soul. So your soul is a very real dimension. If you actually experience your soul at the soul level, you will experience a dimension that's eternal, that doesn't have a space or a time, that is completely, we don't have words in the English language or any language really to describe that experience of what it is when you experience your soul. And your soul is technically, it's only halfway through this journey. There are dimensions and worlds above your soul. There's the Buddhic plane, there's the Nirvanic plane, there's paranirvanic planes. But what that means is that within every single human being on this planet, all these dimensions, all these worlds are embodied within that person. So what it means is that that journey of the warrior is that you begin to discover worlds within worlds. You begin to discover the incredible astral plane, then you begin to discover the mental plane, then you discover the world of your soul, and then your soul helps you to discover the world past itself, or past the world of, technically it's called the causal plane.
Yes, and that's like the universe is within my heart, and my heart is within the universe. And that's the concept of unity and oneness that we talk about. And in a meditation I wrote from my book, The Living Spirit, I try to express this external soul essence this way. Once filled with this love, your heart opens to a selfless way of love and being. Once filled with this love, see yourself within the cool splashes of a magnificent, full, flowing waterfall at a fantastic place you have visited or seen in a picture. The water flows over you and through you. The cooling effects make you feel fresh, renewed, and in alignment to beauty, peace, and purity. Think of loved ones in spirit, a relative or a religious figure, a higher vibrational being who joins you. Ask this soul to show you the beauty of fire, water, air, and earth, as these elements are the forces of your eternal life flow. Ask to be guided to what is needed for your expansion, health, prosperity, and greater sense of love and compassion. And in talking about the soul, and I know Emery talks about this, one day when I was driving in my car, I just had an incredible moment of sensing a being of light within me shining out to meet the sun. And I had such incredible joy. So this is the soul shedding its love into the world for no reason and expecting nothing in return, except that's what we all are. And if we allow ourselves to get past our fear, every one of us can experience a moment like that. And one moment is enough to know the truth of who we are as eternal beings. So I thank Emery for his descriptions, and I just wanted to share that also. We can go on to explain the four wheels of the personality and how that relates to health, because many people are struggling right now in the world with so many things happening to shake the foundations of our inner being by the outside world. So let's talk a little bit about the four wheels of the personality and how that relates to our health and well-being.
What Emery is a very beautiful metaphor that he gives is that your personality is basically the four wheels of a vehicle. And those four tires, the four wheels, of course, is your physical body. And the other wheel is your etheric body, which is your vital body, your vitality body, the very real energy. And the other two tires or wheels are your emotional astral body and your mental body. So that for every what this vehicle is that when the personality, when you are, your four vehicles or your four tires are well balanced, then you are able to drive well. And for Emery, what the real driver of this vehicle is not your mental body, is not your emotional body, and it's not your physical body, but the true driver of this vehicle is your soul.
Absolutely.
So when you,
yeah.
So when you, so, and for most people, they're kind of driving all kind of crazy on this planet because
mm-hmm.
they're driving on one tire. Some people are very mentally focused, so they're driving on it, you know, the vehicle kind of turned and they're just skidding along on a single tire. Or they may be very emotional, so they're also, you know, the vehicle's all off and they're kind of riding around on a single vehicle of a tire that's emotional. Or the physical body, a lot of people are very, very physical, so but what that means is that your whole being is not well balanced on the earth. So what Emily constantly focuses on is balancing these four wheels or these four dimensions, the physical, the etheric, the emotional, and the mental. When those are balanced and not perfect, this is what I love about Emily. He's not expecting anyone to be
Nothing
perfect.
Nothing is perfect in life.
Well,
we don't
well,
have to be perfect. We just have to be expanding. Yeah.
And we're not meant to be perfect.
Right.
We as a soul cannot incarnate into a physical body if we were already perfect.
Yes.
So the only way that we can incarnate into a body is through imperfection. So but being here on the physical plane in a body, you cannot be perfect. It's just not part of. It's not how things are working. It's not how things are structured. But when you are well balanced, when your four wheels are on the earth and your vehicle is well balanced, then the soul, who is really the driver, can kind of sit back and kind of take control of the steering wheel and really drive you through life. And that's really what a warrior is. A warrior is someone, male or female, whose four bodies or four wheels are relatively established on the physical plane, the physical, the etheric, the emotional, and the mental body, and they are receptive enough to allow the soul itself to be the driver.
And how is karma related to this idea of balance and the four bodies? And we come into this life, many people don't understand karma, and they fear it. They think it's something of a punishment, but it's really not. So tell us something, how is karma related to this concept of the four wheels?
Well, the karma is another whole subject, because And Emily emphasizes this over and over again. You incarnate, we all have incarnated thousands of times. So we all have done all kinds of things. We have done good things to people, and most of us, almost all of us, have not been very nice for whatever reason to people, for whatever reason. So, but all those energies are stored up in your causal body, or stored up in your soul itself. So for the soul, what the soul is working on is eliminating some of those karmas. And the soul eliminates those karmas by incarnating into a body and taking on certain karmas that has been stored up for whatever period of time and working them through. So for many warriors, there can be some pretty tough karmas, tough things that you're trying to resolve from previous lifetime, but what a warrior is able to do is that no matter what happens in life, no matter what is thrown to you, good and bad, that you are, the vehicle itself is well balanced. The four wheels are on the earth, they're well balanced, and you're able to drive with that soul, you know, in the steering wheel, so whatever karmas are coming up, that you're able to handle it and not get thrown or
Yes, not get
get
knocked
knocked off the
over.
road,
Right. To
not have an
maintain,
accident.
yes, not have an accident, retain your balance and be able to accept the situation, work through it, and go on in harmony and balance. Now, I like that Imre said spiritual practices like meditation, breathing techniques, chanting, and intonation prevent psychological illnesses because they put you, and this is very important, in the right emotional state, the right vibration. So warriors of the past were shining, positive, and purposeful, not sickly lying in bed, going to doctors, waiting for surgery and pills and treatments. That immediately will show you if someone is having all that difficulty, their soul is not following their path and destiny. Well, maybe it is if that is their karma. But we want to be able to attain harmony and then maintain it. It's attain it and maintain it. So this is done through right thinking and right action and through being an example for good living, actually. I would say that. So he pointed that out. And we come in to this life with joy and awe for life. And sometimes our circumstances take a little bit or pieces of our soul away. But that's okay. That gives us an opportunity to take them back. And this is the work of the warrior, I believe. Think about for a moment the foundation of the physical world in relationship to the chakras or energy system of the body. Because many people are dealing only with the physical world and they are not aware or don't have enough knowledge about the energy system of the body, which is equally important. So tell us something about that.
Well, of course, we all, for most, the personality basically vibrates at the lower three chakras, meaning your base chakra, your second chakra, your second, which is emotional chakra, and the solar plexus, which is the third chakra. So most people are really vibrating at those lower three levels, which is fine. That everyone, has the right to do whatever they feel they need to do. The four chakras above the lower three chakras are the heart, which is an incredible powerhouse. Mysteries upon mysteries, or mysteries within mysteries, are actually in the heart chakra. When you move into the heart, you actually are expanding consciousness. I remember Emily a long time ago said that the heart is consciousness and consciousness is heart. And I remember kind of not understanding that intellectually until I actually experienced what consciousness is, and experienced it through my heart, and understood this expansion of consciousness through the power of the heart. But there's a throat chakra, the center of creativity. There's the third eye, another very mystical chakra, and then there's the crown chakra. So, but for most people, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown are dormant or not very vibrant. So when you do meditations, when you do chanting, when you do intoning, what you do is that you begin to lift the vibrations from the lower three chakras, move it up to the heart, or move it up to the throat. Great artists move from the second chakra, that sexual emotional energy, they move it up to their throat. So they have very powerful throat energies, throat chakras. And when you begin to move that energy up, then you also begin to sense there's also chakras above the head. There's a chakra 18 inches above the top of your head. That's your causal center. There's chakras above your soul level. So every human being has incredible potential for an incredible journey. And part of that journey is really going into these upper chakras, experiencing that, and then even further going to the chakras above the head, and then beginning to experience your soul at the soul level, experiencing the Buddhic plane, and even perhaps some people are able to experience the sheer energy field of light itself, which is the nirvanic plane.
Yes, absolutely. And it's possible for people to try to get above those three lower chakras little by little with help and practice, reading, mentors, being out in nature, meditating, many, many techniques. But you have to want it. And it is not something for everybody, obviously, because I think maybe there are 20% sensitives on the planet and 80% who have some awareness, but they just don't choose to go further. And of course, maybe in this lifetime they're not ready and they will have other opportunities because eventually we will all be aware of these things. Now, Emery mentioned a movie that made a big impression on me some years ago. I really loved it and I thought about it for a long time. And he mentions it, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And you remember, it was about an Asian hero facing war and destruction who comes back into the heroine's life. But the ending was not really in accordance with society standards and worldly consciousness, where the couple gets married and lives happily ever after. Instead, at the end, when the young hero asks the girl to come with him.
If I remember correctly, she doesn't she throw herself off a cliff?
Yes, she jumps off the bridge and floats away into eternity because it is the way of the spiritual warrior, which is nothing like what society expects you to do. She realized the real flow of life is eternity, which is on a different dimensional level, and she was no longer bound by society's customs and rules. And that is the way of the spiritual warrior. Eventually, when you begin to discover who you are and not what you have been taught, then you become, one flowing with the eternal laws of your being. And I thought it was so beautiful, and I gave it a lot of thought, a lot of thought. So I was so happy. I haven't read about that in any of the many, many books I've read, and I was so happy to hear Emery talk about that. How would I live my life, and how would some of our listeners live their life differently after reading this book? And what would you like readers to take away with them?
What I love about this book is that it gives a real vision of what it means to be spiritual in the 21st century. And this is very modern. And Emery, what I love about him, he's very, very practical. So there are many very beautiful techniques in this book. There's breathing techniques, there's techniques of listening to mantras. And these are very, very powerful techniques that help you turn your focus 180 degrees. Because most people, when they look out, their vision is like everything's thrown into the physical world. All their consciousness, all their energy is thrown into the material plane. And there's nothing wrong with that, but what Emily focuses on is that, yes, we live in the physical plane, we have responsibilities, we have families, we have jobs, we pay taxes, we do all sorts of things. But there's also the possibility that you can turn your vision 180 degrees around and look within.
Yes.
And when you look within, there's infinite possibilities. There's infinite joys. There's infinite love. There's infinite wisdom. So what this means is that when you turn inward, and this book, there's many, 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 many techniques, very practical techniques that anyone can try. And what that means is that you can pick a technique that inspires you and practice it for weeks or months, or however that you do it, and you really begin to discover that turning around process, going within, and discovering the incredible mysteries that await you within yourself.
And once you start, there is no going back because once you realize the potential and the beauty of knowing yourself intimately within, it's the greatest gift there is. So I want to thank you, William von Holst, for sharing your interpretation and explanation of Imre Valiant's continuing search, encompassing a wide range of beliefs, demonstrating higher consciousness, expanded awareness and enlightenment, and a greater view of the path of the spiritual warrior in modern times, as individuals and the world are always in the process of growth, transformation, and the development of our human potential. To purchase this book, go to soundinglight.com. In summarizing Emery Valiant's new book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, we find that he has brilliantly and succinctly infused this text with a new way to perceive the ancient ways and many complete ways to understand meditation, the breath and nature, to guide you to follow your own individualized way to access the life force of the universe and use energy in ways to sustain your personal growth and well-being, discovering perhaps a very important aspect of life, which is to live in alignment with Universal Source and to tap into your own spiritual gifts and to bring to the world the conscious living cosmos through your own practice as a spiritual warrior. Emre wrote, "That training in the art of tuning in and harmonizing yourself is vital, not just for your sake, but for the sake of society also. The ancient warriors had to make choices that affected thousands of people, sometimes whole tribes or nations. They could not make correct choices if they were frustrated and angry and their minds were working overtime. A warrior's mind is like a lake, steady and clear, and in that steadiness and clear-sightedness, the warrior can see and make the right movement. This applies to the battlefield as well as one's whole life. Emre and I and William would have you know that we are all spiritual warriors in search of truth about our internal and universal life force. A life affords us the opportunity to discover and develop our personal inner power and our connection to this energetic pulse of the cosmos. Life becomes easier, more fulfilling, and everyone and everything vibrates in perfect harmony and balance as they seek the answers for becoming a well-functioning spiritual warrior, which were within us all along. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite all spiritual warriors to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to recharge, renew, and remember the value and love of life that propels us forward to the view of all possibilities for our own continued march towards enlightenment. Along the way, we may have formidable and positive experiences. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.